This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Reflecting and making tadabbur on the Quran, there's a common misconception, a common mistake that many of us make and understanding the ayah mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is going to be our first tadabbur here today, inshallah ta'ala, reflecting on this ayah and what came before in Surah Al-Furqan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا, that the Prophet, the Messenger said, oh my Lord, the people have taken this Qur'an mahjura, meaning they have abandoned it, they have abandoned the Qur'an. And right away, when you reflect and contemplate on this verse, what is the apparent meaning? The apparent meaning of this is that they have abandoned reading the Quran. And that is correct. That is one of the meanings of making hajr of the Quran. But what falls under that category as well? Imam Ibn Kathir mentioned in his tafsir of this ayah, he said, وَتَرْكُ تَدَبُّرِهِ وَتَفَهُمِهِ مِنْ هُجْرَانِهِ. He said that leaving the tadabbur, the reflecting, the contemplating, and the understanding, he said, these are also from forms of making hajr of the Quran. So when we do not take out time, not just to read the Quran, because we focus so much in Ramadan and others about the importance of reading the Quran, that we tend to forget, or not realize that under this category also falls the issue of contemplation, reflecting, tadabbur, and the tafsir, the understanding. We must take out the time to understand the Quran. And Imam Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned five different types. From them we mentioned, and even making seeking shifa from the Quran. That's a form of hijran. And of abandoning the Quran, and also even ruling by the laws of the Quran. Also, those who do not do that, that's a form of hijran, of abandoning the Quran as well. When you look into the Quran, and I remember I gathered with some brothers in Kuwait, we had a majlis, a circle of tadabbur. And it was one of the things that I noticed, because during that time I was studying Surah Al-Baqarah. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and when you come to the ayat, when Allah starts to talk about the different ahkam, the different fiqh rulings, something very interesting, which I started noticing as I was revising, because I was learning and I was rememorizing. I memorized Surah Al-Baqarah a very long time ago, but just making sure that my hifz was strong in it, I was revising it and memorizing and studying at the same time. And I noticed, subhanAllah, that when these ayat of ahkam come, the ahkam meaning different fiqh rulings and what have you, when they came then, like in the middle, towards the middle of the surah, starting like from verse 177 onwards, or more than the middle, but the endings of these verses, they all have a similar ending, a similar thing in common. And that's the form of tadabbur. We're talking about, and can I make this tadabbur? Even if you don't have all of the knowledge of tafsir, of the Arabic language, if you just stop and reflect on this, like I'm going to mention to you now, you're going to notice, subhanAllah, that's deep, honey. And you start to reflect and ask yourself, why? Why are these verses so similar? So look, for example, and if you want to open up Surah Al-Baqarah with us to follow along, verse 177, when Allah talks about Al-Birr and all of the different a'mal, the acts and the characteristics of Al-Birr. And Al-Birr is all forms of good. That's mentioned in this verse, a very long verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah said at the end, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ, that these individuals are the muttaqun. They're the pious ones. They're the ones who have established the taqwa in their lives. Then when you go to verse 179, which comes later when Allah talks about al-qisas, meaning the death penalty, Allah says at the end of the verse, he talks about 178 and 179, at the end of 179, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps you will obtain the taqwa, the piety. Similarly, when you go to the wasiyah about the issue of inheritance, in verse 180, which comes after, Allah says, حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ, that it's a duty of the muttaqeen, of the righteous, of the ones who have taqwa. So you're seeing now the similarity. What's being mentioned in each one of these verses? Taqwa, the issue of taqwa. And then you come to verse 183, which is talking about the siyam, the fasting. And it says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps you would obtain the taqwa. This is the main objective mentioned by Allah in the fasting. And then you go to verse 187, which is the last verse, talking about the verses of fasting in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah said, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps that they will obtain taqwa. So once again, it ends with the same thing with his taqwa. When Allah talks about Al-Ahillah in verse 189, the moon sighting and the benefits of the moon sighting, what it's for, Allah mentioned at the end of the verse, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and have the taqwa of Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, perhaps you will be successful. And then if you go to the issue of what comes in verse 194 about fighting during the Shahr al-Haram, during the sacred months, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the verse with وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, and fear Allah and know that Allah is with the truth ones. Now look, each time it's coming, each one of these verses, it's coming with taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. Also, if you look at verses 196, 197, when Allah is talking about the hajj, also you have the issue of taqwa. Look at verse 231. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the talaq, about divorce, also it finishes with taqwa. So why does each one of these verses, with all these different ahkam, these different rulings that are coming, these rulings in fiqh and jurisprudence, when they're coming in here in Surah Al-Baqarah, one after another, different time, we're talking about the birr in the first verse in 177 with all of these actions mentioned inside of them. And then you're talking about the death penalty. Then you're talking about fasting. Then you're talking about the hajj. All of these things being mentioned. And all of the verses are ending with what? They're ending with taqwa. So here's the tadabbur now. Now we have to stop and reflect and ask ourselves why. What is the objective? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ending all of these verses with taqwa? This is the reflection that comes. What is taqwa? What is the meaning of taqwa? Taqwa, different narrations given by the scholars, all of them come back to and complete with each other. One of the main ones is doing that which you were ordered to do and staying away from that which you were told to stay away from. Another narration is putting a wiqaya, a barrier between yourself and between the punishment of Allah. So establishing the taqwa in your life is going to help you establish these ahkam, these rulings, these sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How am I going to be able to do that which is haram, do that which is halal, to do that which is wajib, do that which is compulsory? I've been ordered to do this. Only take from halal. Do what I've been ordered to do. I've been ordered to refrain and stay away from that which is haram, that which is not permissible for me. How am I going to do that? How am I going to accomplish that? What's going to help me put that barrier between myself and the punishment of Allah is with the taqwa. If you don't have taqwa, you're not going to be able to implement these things mentioned in the verse. All of these ahkam, it becomes easy for you when you have taqwa. But if you don't have taqwa, it's going to be difficult. You're not going to be able to fulfill your duties. That's why each one of these verses is finished with the issue of a taqwa. This is the tadabbur we want to reach and to reflect on. And like we said, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a student of knowledge. Just a regular Muslim can sit down and reflect on this, because the Quran is sent down as a book of guidance, as huda. How are we going to benefit from that guidance? We say, oh, well, we can't understand it. We can't reflect on it. Allah said that the locks are on the heart of the ones, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, the ones who do not reflect on the Quran. Do they not reflect on the Quran? Why? Do not reflect on the Quran because the hearts, أَمَ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, have the hearts been locked with the locks? This is the reality of so many of us. How do we unlock these locks? By making the tadabbur, by reflecting. This is the true beauty of the Quran, wallahi. And The recitation in itself, like I always mention, before I retired from teaching, I thought sometimes the kids, they're going to drive me crazy. I'm teaching a bunch of kids, some of them, you know, rich kids, spoiled kids, you know, annoying, you know. It's not like the old days when they step out of line, you got the stick and you put them back in line. You can't do that in modern education nowadays. You have to control the class. You have to be prepared. You have to. Teaching is tough. I have a lot of respect for teachers, you know. And that's why I retired before the age of 40 from being a full-time teacher. I didn't think I would make it to be 60. Allahu Akbar. It's a tough occupation. But obviously the good and the blessings that come from it, that's something else. Alhamdulillah, no doubt it's a great job to have. Alhamdulillah, we're still educated. We're still teachers. But you know, we teach those who want to learn now, not the ones who are forced to go to the classroom. But it was a very tough time. But what did I find? What made it easy for me? Well, like the Quran. If it wasn't for the Quran, I think I would have went mad, you know. But as soon as I would go to the teacher's room, I would open up the Quran, read a couple of pages, a couple of verses, maybe one page, and alhamdulillah, all of the, you know, the stress and the difficulty that I would find, it was gone from me, alhamdulillah. Because that's what the Quran does for us. It gives us that relaxation. That's just reading it and hearing it. So what about when I add to that understanding the Quran? I know the tafsir. I understand what Allah wants from me in this verse. And then I contemplate. And that's also from the forms of what? The forms of tadabbur. That's also from the forms of tadabbur. When I sit and I ask myself, and I go through the Quran like a student at the time of the exam, and I'm taking my notes. Because this is the difference. We're talking about the recitation of the Quran, whether in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan. Ramadan's different. We want to get more ajr and more reward, so we increase the recitation. Yes. And like many of the scholars, I've heard them say, you should have a khatma, a different types of khatma, different types of recitations that you make. So for example, if I'm a hafiz, or even if I just memorized 5 juzus or 10 juzus or 3 juzus, whatever it might be of the Quran, that now becomes a wajib upon me, meaning I have to read that. And this type of recitation, this revision, this muraja'ah, it might be a bit quick. So I'm going to read through that as fast as I can, as quick as I can, right? But when it comes to, and then for example, let's say if I put a goal for myself that I want to be from those who finish the Quran at least once a month. The Salaf, you know, they said this is the minimum, subhanAllah. Now for us, it's usually only in Ramadan that we do it, unfortunately. But this should be something that's done all throughout the year. Where we what? We memorize the Quran, and we finish the Quran at least once a month. So if that's my objective, so number one, I do my I revise what I memorize. Number two, I'm going to what? Have something that I'm gonna finish the Quran each month. On top of that, I need to have another one, which is tadabbur, reflecting. How many times is that going to be? Don't worry about that. It might take you a year, might take you 2-3 years to finish all of these things. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about how long it takes you to finish that. That's not important. What's important is that you have that time where you sit down with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you reflect and you contemplate. Like we said, one of the ways is that we go and we see what does Allah want from us? Why did Allah mention this? Now we're fasting. Why did Allah mention in the verse in 183 in Surah Al-Baqarah? Why did He mention the fact that fasting was prescribed for us? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Oh, you have believed, fasting has been prescribed for you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. As it was prescribed for those who were before you. So now this is a tadabbur. Reflect. Why did Allah mention that it was prescribed for the past nations as well? There's an objective. There's a hikmah behind this. Allah is not just mentioning it. It's not a historical fact. It's not the objective of the ayah. So why is Allah mentioning this? This is my tadabbur. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Perhaps that you obtain taqwa. Why is Allah mentioning the issue of taqwa? Out of all of the objectives of fasting, there's many objectives, but the one that's mentioned here in the Quran is establishing the taqwa in our lives. Why this? What is the relationship between fasting the month of Ramadan and between taqwa? And like I said, as my profession, for many years, I was a full-time teacher. So now this means what? This is homework for you guys now. Huh? You have to reflect on it, inshallah ta'ala. Answer, inshallah, in the comments below. And inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow, and our next majlis, inshallah, we come together tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, at the same time, we're going to answer that question. And we're going to go deeper, inshallah, and to different ayat, making tadabbur, reflecting on their meanings, inshallah, and pondering on the meanings together, inshallah ta'ala. Until then, Allah knows best. Allahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad wa jazakum Allahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.